Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, you can tell I'm a sinner. I was worried. It was so foggy and hard to see. I thought nobody would be here tonight. But I'm so glad you all braved the fog and came to worship and celebrate the main reason for the season. In getting ready for tonight's sermon, I asked a few people, what does Christmas mean to you? I asked one man, Herb, at Club Julian, where I work out, and he said, Christmas means to me thanks to God. The last four Christmases I spent in the hospital. This is the first Christmas in 4 years I haven't been in the hospital. He was very thankful. So Christmas was a Thanksgiving for him. And then a nice lady named Connie, and she said very profoundly, Christmas means to her holiness, a promise fulfilled and a rebirth through the forgiveness of sins. The whole world looks beautiful this time of year, celebrating Jesus' birth. And then I was waiting in line yesterday, driving through Cranberry traffic to Barnes & Noble because my wife wanted a special present. And as I was leaving with the present to buy it, the line was long because it was Christmas, and there was a gentleman behind me, and we started talking, and he was a lapsed Catholic, and he said he was looking to join a Lutheran church. And I said, have I got a church for you? But he lived in Minnesota, so that's a long drive. But he said to him, the birth of Jesus means that God came to us to share with us the joys and sufferings of being human. And because he lives eternally, we too shall have everlasting life. I said, wow. He got good CCD training when he was in the Catholic Church. All these and other people I've talked to really helped me prepare for tonight's service and kind of put some skin on what we are here tonight celebrating. They reminded me of the story I once heard. A four-year-old girl was terrified in her room, and she thought she saw ghosts and monsters, so she ran into her parents' room, and her mother grabbed her by the hand and soothed her, took her back to the room where her bed was, and turned the light on in her bedroom and said, see, you don't have to be afraid. There's no ghosts. And besides, our room is just down the hall, and you're never alone. God is here with you. The little girl replied, I know God is here, but sometimes I need someone in this room who has some skin. Tonight, God put on some skin. He became a baby in Bethlehem, born in a cave on the outskirts, and placed with animals, and placed in a feed trough to keep him warm. Yet from here, God brings in the kingdom of God, the power and the glory to those who are often overlooked, often those who are used or marginalized or feel unloved or feel lonely or feel worthless or brokenhearted tonight. God has put on flesh for all people to come to you. He comes to you who are having financial problems tonight, this time of year. Maybe you're trying to find a job. Maybe your job's in jeopardy. Maybe you're afraid that you might lose your home and you can't pay the bills, and or you might have to leave your area or even the country to find a job. Did you ever think of this? When God put on skin in Jesus Christ, he didn't live in a mansion or a palace. He was born to a peasant family. The Bible says, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. If you have financial problems tonight, Jesus is good news for you tonight. He's with you in the flesh. Or maybe tonight, with all the parties and all the glitter and all the things happening, maybe you feel a little lonely tonight. All the celebrations of Christmas makes you even feel lonelier. Remind you how alone you feel. Well, Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. At the moment of the greatest crisis of his life, all of his friends deserted him. Even one of them, Judas, betrayed him. He actually said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt God forsaken. Jesus would say to you tonight, I know the pain of aloneness. Jesus is good news for people like you. He's with you in the flesh. Or maybe tonight the word family is a complicated word. Maybe there's problems or brokenness or disappointments or divisions over looking at the way life should be lived or over politics or whatever. You know, Jesus had a family too, and they did not always understand him. In fact, after he started his ministry, we read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for the people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. They thought he was crazy. Jesus knows all about families. You have family problems? The Word became flesh in Jesus Christ for you. Jesus is with you tonight in the flesh. Or maybe you're dreading this Christmas because of there's going to be an empty space at your table, an empty chair, where there used to be somebody you loved and laughed and looked for advice. They're not there. And it pains your heart. You need someone who has skin to be with you. You need God to be incarnate. You need God to put on flesh and blood and be with you. That hug, that smile, that listening ear, that word of encouragement, that space where you can just be yourself and say what you need to say and know that you would still be loved. That promise that your departed one is with God tonight, because this Jesus was crucified, died, and was raised from the dead. Your loved one is with God in heaven. Your loved one still loves you. Love never ends. Your loved one still praying for you. Your loved one still cares about you. And you will see that person again when Christ returns in all of his glory. That's our promise. Tonight, God has put on skin for you. And maybe you're happy tonight, having your family together. You got that job. Life looks pretty good for you. Jesus understands that too. What was the first sign, what first miracle he did in John's gospel? He turned the water into wine. Jesus likes to party too. God likes to have fun too. God likes to have enjoyment and laughter and good food and good drink and good conversation. That's part of what we celebrate tonight too. Emmanuel. We don't gotta look up there. God has come to us. God is with us, Emmanuel, and a little baby born in Bethlehem, and they named him Jesus, and Jesus is God deep in the flesh. Think about that. That's going to blow your mind. For you, and you, and you, and you, and me. Jesus knows rejection and failure and disappointment and pain and even death. And Jesus knows love and joy and placefulness and creativity and imagination. All these deep in the flesh. He knows us. He knows what it means to be you and me, what it means to be a true human being. The good news is that God entered the world deep in the flesh in the baby Jesus for all of us and everybody you meet. In this dark, foggy world of ours, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And the light of Christmas, we are invited to receive the gift, not only for ourselves personally, although that's true too, but the gift also helps us see the beauty of others and all creation in a new light. Maybe this story about the monks would help drive this home. Once there was a famous monastery which had fallen under very, very hard times. Formerly, its many buildings were filled with young monks, and its big church resonated with the singing and the chant and the love. But now it was deserted. People no longer came there because it was depressing. It was boring. The monks still sang the chant, but they sang it with heavy hearts. Now, on the edge of the monastery in the woods was a little cabin built by a rabbi who would go there on retreats for silence, for prayer. And no one spoke to him, but whenever he appeared, the word passed from one monk to the next monk to the next monk. The rabbi walks in the woods. And for as long as he was there, the monks would feel sustained by his prayerful presence. One day, the old abbot, the head of the monastery, went out to visit the rabbi and to open his heart to him. And so after morning Eucharist, he set out, that's like Holy Communion, he set out into the woods and he approached the hut. And as the monk did, he saw the rabbi there standing in the door and with a big smile on his face, like as if he's waiting for the abbot to come. And the two embraced each other like lost brothers, and they stepped back and they were so happy. Their smiles filled their faces with joy that could be hardly contained. And after a while, the rabbi motioned for the abbot to come into the little simple hut. And they went in, and all was very, very sparse. Just a table, two chairs, and an open Bible. And they sat for a while in silence with the Bible in front of them. Then the rabbi began to cry. And the old monk, the old abbot, sitting across from him with all the heartache that was going on in the monastery, it hit him. And he started crying too. And he started crying with sobs that were very deep from his soul, like lost children, and their sobs and their souls filled the hut with their tears. And after the tears had ceased to flow and all was quiet again, the rabbi lifted his head and said, "You and your brothers are serving God with a heavy heart. You have come here to ask for a teaching from me, and I will give you a teaching, but you can only repeat it once. And after that, no one must ever say aloud that teaching again." And the abbot waited with expectation. And the rabbi looked straight at him in his eyes and he said, "The Messiah is among you." And for a while, all was silent. Then the rabbi said, "Now, you must go." Well, the abbot left without a word. Didn't even look back. Went back to the monastery. The next morning, he called the monks together in the chapter room where they would meet for counsel. And he told them that he had received a teaching from the rabbi who walks in the woods, and that the teaching was never again to be spoken aloud after it was once spoken. Then he looked at each of the brothers and he said, "The rabbi said, one of you are the Messiah." They were shocked. They were shocked. They were startled. They said, "Well, what could this mean?" They asked themselves, "Is it Brother John? Well, he snores. He couldn't be the Messiah. Or Father Matthew? But he always has seconds and he's getting fat. He can't be the Messiah. Was it Brother Tom? Am I the Messiah?" And they were all deeply troubled by the rabbi's teaching. But no one ever mentioned it again. As time went by, the monks began to treat each other with a new and a very special respect. Even more than that, a reverence. They started to be gentle with one another, and there was a human quality about them that was hard to describe, but you could see it. They lived with one another as men who had finally found something, but they prayed as if at the scriptures as men who were always looking for something. Occasionally, visitors found themselves deeply moved by the life of these monks, and before long, people were coming from far and wide to be nourished by the prayer life of the monks, and young men were asking once again to join the brotherhood, the community. In those days, the rabbi no longer walked in the woods. His old hut fell into ruins. But somehow or other, the old monks had taken his teaching to heart, and they still felt sustained by his prayerful presence. Tonight, we celebrate the reality that God has come to earth. God has put on some skin. We no longer are to look up to find Christ, because Christ is with us and Christ is in us, and we're to look out with new eyes, new hearts, new minds, so that every home becomes a church, a little church. Every child becomes the Christ child. Every person we meet, every situation we are in, the Messiah, the Christ, is there amongst us and in us. And all food and drink become holy sacraments that we give thanks for. On this holy night, let the light of Christ dispel your darkness. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your hearts. God is among us in Jesus Christ. May we open to this Christ reality and live this reality of Christ for us and in us, and look for it in every person we meet and every good gift that God gives us. For you see, that is what Christmas is all about. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.